This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Paul, let's know, of course, one of the other news that has certainly been, one of interest for all of us today is the, the quarterly labor force survey that has come out. And certainly, I think, giving, a little bit of an upbeat energy, seeing improvements coming in that numbers. That is the Q3 QLFS coming through for 2022. And of course, as we usually do, we try to get a statistician's lens as well of the latest print. And of course, who else than Ntate Resenga Maluleke, who is the Statistician General at Stats SA, to help us make sense of the latest print. Dr. Resenga, good evening and welcome to the show.
Evening indeed, and let me greet the Power FM listeners.
Sure, maybe if you can just give us a high-level reading of the latest print, Dade.
Let us look at the issues of employment and unemployment, but it would not be enough to look just at this current quarter. The third quarter that we are reporting on. Let us go back to what happened from the first quarter to the second quarter. We gained employment. So the number of the employed increased by 648,000, which is more than 500,000. And now from the second quarter to the third quarter, the quarter that we are reporting on now, employment again increased by 204,000, retaining the number of the employed to 15.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Having said so, unemployment or the number of the unemployed started to decrease. We saw in the first to second quarter, there were decreases by 132,000 in terms of the unemployed. Again, as we are talking now, in the third quarter, we saw the number of those that are unemployed decreasing by 269,000. Having decreased like that, it means that from the previous quarter, we had 8 million people unemployed. Now we are sitting at 7.7 million.
Mm.
So we can say that we have seen unemployment as a rate, the unemployment rate decreasing. In the first quarter, it was 34.9%. It decreased from there to about, it was 34.6%. It decreased down to 33.9% in the second quarter. In the third quarter that we are reporting on, it has come down by one percentage point again to 32.9%. So unemployment is starting to decrease. We are talking the 7.7 million that represent the 32.9%. These are people who are actively looking for employment. Now, when we look at those 7.7 million, we add another 3.5 million who said they are discouraged to look for employment, discouraged work seekers. And another 700,000 who didn't look for employment for other reasons other than discouragement. We are coming to 11.9 million, which is what we call the expanded unemployment rate. It has declined a bit. In the last quarter, we're sitting at 12.3 million. So we declined by about 400,000 to 11.9 million. And the unemployment rate as expanded is currently sitting at 43.1%. So that is the state of employment and unemployment in our country.
And then looking at that 264,000 that are not economically active at this point in time, that has increased over the quarter, how could we understand that number a little bit better?
Well, we have two groups of the not economically active. One, in the not economically active, the first group that we put are those that are your discouraged work seekers. And I have already spoken about the discouraged work seekers that are sitting at 3.5 million, having decreased by about 54,000. But there are other categories that include students. So remember, the labor, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act says that it is illegal to hire anyone 14 years or younger. So it means if you are 15 years and higher and you are not at school and you are looking for employment, we should capture you. Now, there are those who are 15 years and older who are students and said they were not available. So they form part of that not economically active. That's about 222,000. And we also have the homemakers, the people who are at home and looking after the children, rearing issues of home, mm-hmm. and are not working, 33,000. We also have those that have said they are too young or too old to work, 46,000. Those that said they were either experiencing illness or there are people living with disability, they decreased by 48,000, whereas other were 10,000. And those may be people who, for whatever reason, other than the ones we have classified, chose not to go and look for employment.
Mm. And then also then getting into a couple of the other points that do come through, we do have the labor force participation rate as well as the absorption rate. We've seen the absorption rate tick up a little bit to 39.1%, but the participation rate is dropping. How do you then again read this one vis-a-vis as well in the drop in overall unemployment rate?
Let us first start by defining the labor force participation rate. It is the proportion of the working age population that is either employed or unemployed, whereas the absorption rate is the proportion of the working age that is employed. So when the gap between the two widens, it means that we are not creating enough employment, because then we have more people that
coming
are eligible
in,
to take employment,
yeah.
whereas we are not creating jobs.
Yeah.
So now that we are seeing it to start to narrow, in that the labor force participation rate is dropping and the absorption rate is rising a bit, it means that if it continues like that consistently without fail in future quarters, which I can't say now, we have to go and measure.
Mm.
If that those two lines start to narrow, it means that the country is creating employment.
Sure. And then again, looking at some of the developments between long-term employment and short-term employment, what are the numbers telling us there, Dr. Rasenga?
We looked at long-term unemployment and short-term unemployment. When we talk about long-term unemployment, we are talking about people that haven't been working for 12 months or more. So out of the 7.7 million who are unemployed and actively looking for employment, 5.9 million, that is about 77%, are in long-term unemployment, meaning that they haven't been employed for 12 months or more. Only 1.8 million, which is 23%, have been looking for employment for less than 12 months.
Mm. And then getting into a sectoral view as well, I guess which of the sectors have contributed to some of the gains that we are seeing and some of them contributing to the losses we're seeing?
Manufacturing contributed 123,000 jobs, trade 82,000 jobs, construction 46,000 jobs. Let me mention that construction has been depressed for some time,
but it's
showing recovery. Transport, 33,000 jobs. Community and social services, which include government, 27,000 jobs. 13,000 utilities, as in electricity, gas, and water. But the biggest losses were in finance and real estate. We lost about 80,000 jobs. Private households, people that you and I employ at our homes to cut our lawn and attend to other responsibilities at home, lost about 36,000 jobs, whereas mining and agriculture lost 1,000 jobs each. Even finance, which lost more jobs, could not offset the gains that were shown by manufacturing, trade, construction, and the others. But manufacturing, and there's been an issue that what is happening? Because if electricity was, we had power outages in the form of load shedding, why do we have manufacturing creating jobs? It's because the areas of manufacturing that created jobs are not the ones that demand heavy
electricity
energy
usage. Mm.
Yeah, so you can see basic metals, food and beverages, transport equipment, wood and the wood products do not require as much heavy electricity like mining.
And I mean, it's often quite an interesting one as well, looking at that vis-a-vis, the GDP outlook or some of the GDP prints that do come through, where also from a manufacturing point of view, coming into the Q3, we are starting to see that a little bit more depressed. And so maybe this is a little bit of a surprising number for anyone who would have been following some of those data points.
Well, quarter three GDP is still coming. So we are releasing that next week. So let us wait and see what happens.
And then there's often a narrative in the country around that we've got many graduates who are unemployed and they have gotten these certificates, but these they mean nothing in terms of their absorption rate in the context of employment outcomes. But we are seeing that graduate unemployment rate is 10.7%. Can we talk about that vis-a-vis also, in essence, underemployment that we see in the economy? And I think that would be an interesting one to observe as well.
Firstly, is that graduates do not experience unemployment like any other group. Actually, graduates get more readily employed because their unemployment rate is sitting at 10.7%, which is far less, about 22.2 percentage points lower than the unemployment rate of the country, which is sitting at 32.9%. Now, when you look at other tertiary, the unemployment rate is sitting at 22%, almost about 10 percentage points lower than the national unemployment rate. It's only with people who have matric or less than matric who are higher than the national unemployment rate. So what it means is that people who are graduates or other tertiary readily get employment than people with matric or less. Having said so, you are talking about underemployment. It's more like it's more structural unemployment in our country, in that you have the skill set that do not match the demands in the job market.
And how's that number been looking between the last two quarters, Ndatere Senga?
We haven't measured structural employment as it is, because the whole area of skills, then you need to unpack the necessary area of the skills vis-a-vis jobs that are being advertised every weekend, and that is another job. The people, even themselves, when we interview them, would not give us a reliable indicator.
Sure. And then there's been, you know, for a while, Ndatere Senga, there has been questions around participation rate and, of course, the ultimately efficacy of the statistics themselves. How is it looking in this quarter?
Well, firstly, remember, during the pandemic, when we could no longer go to interview people out there in the public space, our response rates were low. We had to come down as far as about 44%. We went up to 64%. And as we are talking now, we are way above 76%. That is levels that we were even pre-pandemic. But the point is, during COVID-19, our field workers could not go out and interview people. As you know, there were different levels of restrictions. So what we did is that we interviewed only those people that we could reach by telephone. And then we used the first quarter of 2020, which was the last quarter we went to field in person, to ease out the bias on telephones. Now, as it is now, we are able to reach out to members of the public like we did pre-pandemic. And every quarter we are seeing improvement in terms of the response rates.
Sure. And I guess that finally closes that pressure point, because, again, a lot of the questions, and we're ultimately continuing to test whether or not when you've got low, of course, participation rates, whether or not the numbers that we are seeing are giving us, of course, the, you know, quality of the insights that we ought to be getting from there. But Ndatere Senga, thank you very much as always, and certainly wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you indeed. And let me thank the Power FM listeners.
Power FM. Of course, that was Ntata Resenga Maluleke, who is a statistician general at Stats SA, giving us a statistician's view, as he always insists, on the context of what's happening in our, in you know, our economy from an unemployment rate.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.